Hello, I wish I was a little bit taller. I wish I was a baller. I wish I had a girl.
G'day, ballers, and welcome to the Baller BBL podcast. My name's Jono, coach of the Fickle Bickles, and I'm absolutely flying after a big VC loop on Jack Edwards, aka Jedward. And with me tonight to talk about all the big news coming out of round one are a couple of fellow Jedward VCs. First up, he's a man who's full of hot takes. He's my co-host of the Sunday Snap. It's Tubes. How you going, mate?
I'm good. I'm enjoying that I get introduced first. I'm a second-rate citizen on this podcast, but I'll take the introduction. I didn't realize your name was team name was Fickle Bickle, so I enjoy that. I might need to get on board with the with some punny names moving from next season away from Tubes Pods.
Well, Tubes, I just think it describes what my Supercoach says it's going to be like. It's going to be fickle. There's going to be no love or longing for any of these players. And just like the great Andy Bickle, it's going to be pretty aggressive and short-tempered as well. So I just think it sums up my overall approach onto BBL Supercoach.
But, shows Tubes, your age too.
It does a little bit. It does a little bit. But Tubes, I didn't introduce you first because I was giving you the best. I was doing the old save the best for last because our second guest tonight, and he's more than a guest, he's one of the great tough carriers. He's like both Joe Root and Ben Stokes rolled into one on tonight's podcast. It is the coach of Myth on the Myth. How you go, mate?
No, well, I don't know about being compared to two Englishmen right now, but
the two best ones at least.
Yeah, I'll take it, but would have preferred any set of Aussies, I reckon. But I'll take it on the chin, and we'll move forward,
fellas. How are we feeling? As we record this, we're currently watching the last game of the round, the Canes versus the Stars. But Myth, I'll start with you. How are you feeling coming into the end of round one?
I think pretty good as Edwards VC, especially after watching Owen get out, and I feel for Owen captains because it is brutal when you cop a low one, but it's just basically 100 points just with captaincy. And there are people out there that took Edwards out because of the rain, which is a tough spot to be. So flying high with his, 200 and 400 odd points as captain.
So good. And Myth, I seriously this is my first year. We'll get into a bit of fact. I'm not going to be giving a lot of opinions tonight on what the best tactical moves are. I am a BBL, obviously massive cricket fan, but BBL Supercoach rookie. And I have to say, I 100% put the VC on the great Jedward because of your huge plug on the last pod coming in round one. So thank you very much for that. It's set me up for success.
Oh, mate, made the decision at the end of the day, so you give yourself some credit.
Tubes, what about you? What are your big takeaways from kind of coming into round one before we get stuck in the nitty gritty? What are your thoughts and feelings so far?
My big takeaway is I've never put much effort into BBL, and I've always listened to people like Matt and that going about their top 10 finishes. This is an easy game. This is much easier than all other super coaches. Just find the right VC and get all the double gamers. That seems to be the play.
Tubes, I reckon if we VC a guy who goes 200 plus every week, we're gold. This is easy.
Yeah, that's it. Easy than find NRL. A guy, VC him, 200 plus, and then get a couple of good double gamers that go well. Nice to see McDermott, although he's out now. He's flying. He's on about 150 as well. So, very happy coming into – I think I'm on track for about a 1,300 heading into round two. So, I'm looking forward to hearing from Myth who we're bringing in next round so we can keep this going.
All right. Well, before we get into all that, because we're about to get stuck into it, just a couple of plugs, as always, to start the potty. So Prize League, if you are not one of the 300-odd people who joined and you are listening to this podcast, you are insane. Get in there. There are 3K of prizes up for grabs, 2K to the winner, which I think I'm firming for, 500 to second place and 500 to third. Now, Chiefs, on last week's pod, you said that on the Prize League that if I come first, you'll give me a bonus 3K. That's got to have you feeling a little bit nervous week one. I'm a bit of a BBL gun.
I mean, you're still behind me, but you're doing all right. So as long as I stay ahead, I'm safe. It's a big swing though.
That's true. And look, just to remind everyone to make sure you're following us on all the socials. I know the boys have been putting out last minute team news, weather updates, and plenty of other content to go around. So get on X Baller BBL, that's without the E, BALLR BBL, and on Facebook, Baller_BBL, on Instagram as well. So Look, there's also the Baller Tools. I don't know if you guys have been having a look at some of the Baller Tools that are live on baller.live at the moment. Myth, what are your favorite tools to use?
I think the projections are interesting. And I think if people were really honing in on that, they would have seen the projection for Wildermuth before the Heat game. A few people, he was projected, I think, low 60s, and he's ended up at the 79 because of that role. That stay on top of those projections, you might be able to uncover some gems that in that frantic 30 minutes between the team list popping up and that first ball being bowled.
Yeah, that's a good call. Those projections are very valuable. I did see that with Wildermuth and moved him into my team with that change role. Funny, because the opening batting didn't actually help him in the end. It was all the bowling that got him there. But who cares? He was in the team. And that's kind of, yeah, flexible and updating depending on the boys are updating that live depending on when those team lists come out. So Wildermuth changed, you know, half an hour before the first ball. And it was massive for the super coaches who are onto that. I would say this year, because I know less about the BBL than what I would NRL, I'm very much a data-heavy person. So a lot of the picks I made for this week were kind of projection-based and listened to your advice in the pod from you and Maddie. So I think it's absolutely valuable. Jeeves, you've been getting onto the Baller website?
Yeah, similar. Like I've had a play around with deep diving into those statistics, but I do think for me the main one is just those 10 minutes out from those projections and making those decisions based on that. I did go for a gut call after Jordan was named to bat at 7. The projections came in with him going pretty well, but I decided to do a late swap to, is it Hussain? Oh, and Jordan's just got out while I'm talking about it, so you beauty. But I went a late
Jordan
swap.
Jordan got caught, as you said.
I went late swap from Jordan to, is it Hussain, the spinner for them? And so far it looked like Jordan's doing very well. So the projections got it spot on in the first game.
All right. Well, Chibs, I want to hear what your biggest takeaways from round one, because you and I are newer to the game of BBL Supercoach. What are your big takeaways and what's jumping out to you that you'll be keeping in mind for the rest of the season?
Honestly, I just think that it's worked week one is these double game strategies. And I know that it was talked about a lot in the preseason, but until it arrived, I probably didn't appreciate just how much it is. Like even I accidentally picked, that's probably what stood out to me, bloody Supercoach and not having the ability to update after a wet weather game to not have its lockout. So I got locked out with the teams got named after first game lockout and the Sixers played the Scorchers and I got stuck with Kerr in my team like many others. I had him stuck in the flex so I couldn't even get an AE from him. But thankfully he did play the second game being a double gamer and came out and got 45 points, so it's not a complete disaster.
Yeah. I think my biggest takeaway too is that double game thing that you said is obviously like so valuable, and haven't stopped looking since I've been kind of addicted to this now. Haven't stopped looking at that pinned baller post on Instagram with all the double games and planning ahead. The other thing that I would say to stands out to me as a new person in the game is, unlike NRL and AFL Supercoach, luck is going to play an even bigger role than what it does in those. Because at least in those sports, you got that bit of a base. If a guy has a bad game, he's still going to get a pretty decent score just from base alone. But in cricket, a guy comes out and gets zero and he's not a bowler, and then you picked him to 50-50 choice over a guy who comes out and gets 70 or 40 balls, you're just completely stuffed. So those little 50-50 calls and that luck involvement and the swings that can have, I think you're going to be absolutely massive. Myth, what about you? You are obviously a much more seasoned veteran to the game than me and Tubes. What are the big takeaways for you out of round one?
Those doubles are key, aren't they? I had someone describe that BBL Supercoach is like NRL Supercoach, except every single player is Alex Johnston. And I think that's a pretty good way of putting it. You could get a 5, you could get 4 tries and get a 150. You don't know what you're going to get. But I think the biggest takeaway for me through the first round is, whilst those doubles are key, these guys that just bat 6 or 7 and bowling regular overs are just who you want to round out your side with. Edwards went nuts. I think Sutherland had 80-odd. Shadab Khan had 80-odd or 90-odd. Sams, 80-odd. Overton, 130. these guys that can just bat and bowl are just so valuable. And if the game falls for them, they can just score so easily.
Yeah. What do you think of the Geelong pitch? Because I was listening to you guys on the pod talking about how that's been a bit of a nightmare area for batsmen in BBL Supercoach. Has that changed at all after the first week?
Yeah, it seems as though there was some mail around that the Adelaide curator had actually moved across there and was taking care of it. And we've definitely seen the impact of that, because that was a road. And I would be worried about fielding too many Hurricanes bowlers next week on that, because the gates top order might tee off.
How funny. I saw that in the Discord. By the way, if people aren't in there, get over to baller.live/discord and join, because there's a lot of great insights coming through, people chatting. If you just want that community feel, it's fantastic. I saw someone say about that. It might have even been you, Myth, mentioned about this Adelaide guy coming across. I thought it was a joke. That's an actual – I thought someone was just making it funny.
Yeah, it seems legit. I don't think it was me, but I was skeptical of it. I was like, can't change that much, surely. But that was chalk and cheese. I think they said it was the most runs they've ever done. Oh, that's just ridiculous from Maxwell. Just done Maxwell things on the boundary rope to dismiss Wade, it looks like. But yeah, that Geelong pitch was just completely different.
It's funny too, because the Adelaide pitch, plenty of wickets in the first couple of days of the test as well. So having impacts all around.
Let's get on to our first proper segment of the show, fellas. I love the name of this segment, Myth's Weather Watch. Myth, take us away. What do you got to say about Myth's Weather Watch?
Yeah, I don't know about the name, but I don't think weatherman's been in my job description. But we just saw the impact of it, right? And if game one, a lot of people were not sure what to do. It worked well for some people, worked really badly for others. People that took Edwards out and then stuck with a dud captain, it's like a 300-400 point swing, which is insane. And we're going to have plenty of them throughout the season. I think it's just almost preparing a little bit in advance, knowing what's coming. It looks like, looking ahead to this week, that the Sydney Smash game between Thunder and Sixers is looking a lot better, but there's still that threat of storms in the afternoon. So we're going to be monitoring it. But these guys at bat and bowl from the Thunder, Shadab Khan, Sam's, Green, if you're going to take them and you want them, I wouldn't let it sway you, but it's such a long game. That Hurricanes versus the Gades, it looks like it could be in a bit of trouble. And with a lot of people, 7 or 8 canes, you're going to have to factor that into decision-making. We won't know up until it's raining during the day. So I think it's going to be whether or not it sticks around. And if that toss gets delayed, that's when it's going to be panic stations.
So there is expected to be a little bit of weather around this week. People have got to keep their eyes on the bomb.
Yeah. Geelong looks likely to be raining pretty much most of the day. Whether that's still there at that first ball, that's what we're going to be waiting on. And having a plan of if that toss gets delayed, what you're doing might be important.
Tubes, one thing about Myth talking about that role, the guys who kind of bat 6-7 have regular bowling. Would you describe yourself in your cricket career possibly the perfect BBL Supercoach player?
An opening batsman that couldn't bowl. Very similar.
I thought you did like to roll the arm over tubes.
I liked to, but I couldn't. I think I captained a fair few cricket sides, so maybe got a few more overs than I deserved. But but certainly
you were the McSweeney.
Yeah. I don't know about the McSweeney. I was probably more the. No, I don't know. I was that bad. I can't reference like who I was. Like that's so I'm not even putting someone under that bus.
I'll tell you my biggest comp after 1 week of Supercoach would probably be Silk. Doesn't bowl, doesn't bat, specialist fielder, except I couldn't field. That's probably my closest comp I could make so far.
Since we are on a cricket podcast, and just to give myself a bit of a self note, you would remember this, Jono, but when we obviously growing up in the Sutherland Shire, home of the great yes. Steve Smith, he's of similar age to us, and I played him in the under-16s, and he was going to play 16As versus he was going to play for Sutherland after we played 16As, and He was on something like 60-something not out. And, yeah, do you remember who I bowled to him and then dropped the catch? It was our great friend, Jay Doyen.
James Doyen. Shout out James Doyen. Yeah, drop Steve Smith. That could have been your big claim to fame, Tubes. And still kind
it
of
still
is.
Still that is. My, it's just my claim to fame. It's my main cricket claim to fame. It was skied straight to mid-off, dropped. So I'm looking forward to picking up Steve in the late areas. Hopefully his vertigo is fixed up by the back end of the season.
Yeah, let's hope so. All right, Myth, Weather Watch got sidetracked by Tubes' Steve Smith stories there. Did anything else you want to say about the weather, Myth, or can we move on?
No, I think the big thing is if it's a team on a double game week, you're relatively going to want them. If they're on the double game week, you're going to have one game, and at worst, you're going to have a game that gets cancelled, in which they're just a single game week team anyway. But if they get out there at all, you might still get 1.5 games. And from a points-wise, you're probably going to benefit. But if it's a team on a single game week and that rain is threatening, that's when I'd probably be looking more to try and veer away from it, because you're not going to get any benefit. If you have a different team, you're going to get an advantage. But if you've got a guy that's playing in a 10-over match and a full match the other time, they're still going to be better than a single. So I think when we're reacting to weather and a potentially shortened game, unless it's dire and completely looking like it's just going to piss down for hours, maybe I'd be considering holding the double game week goers more than a single game week.
Geez, that's tough then, like you were saying about the weather around in Geelong for the Canes, because a lot of people that are owning 7, 8 Hurricanes players who want to hold them for the round 3 double, that's tough, isn't it?
Yeah, and if that forecast gets worse, we're going to have to be really adaptable, because you're going to end up playing short if you've got too many. So you might be looking to trade a Kane or two out. Maybe you'll trade a Kane to a star, maybe just a boost there and just get an extra star in ready for the next double anyway. So your net numbers for the round 3 double don't change, but you're just a little bit safer for that potential rain impacts.
I'll tell you what, we'll get to it later, but there are a couple of Canes I can't wait to trade out. I'm not going to be pausing over the trade button. Let's get into now the baller blueprint topic of the week. This is where we give a bit of a deep dive into some of the biggest topics. And one that stands out this week is double game week next week is the Heat and the Thunder. Tubes, I'll start with you, even though I think Myth's going to have a better answer, but I'll start with you. Who are your non-negotiable Thunder and Heat players, Tubes, that you want to get into your team for next week?
How about I'll take the Thunder just to start. So I already own Daniel Sams. He is 35% owned. So he was a non-playing reserve for me. I think Myth already summed it up. Like he bats 6 or 7. I think he batted 7. But you can also pinch hit. He's a fast bowler. He also bowls those really important overs, like similar to like Nathan Ellis. Like he's either bowling the power play or he's bowling the last couple of overs of the game, so more chance of getting a wicket. I think he's basically a must-have in your side if you don't have him. I think similar you could say then to the lesser extent is Shadab Khan, like where he's batting for the Thunder and with his bowling, I think that he's sort of that other one that you basically must have. I know you mentioned Green. I don't like Green. I mean, he's probably a good super coach. I don't want to cheer for him. So, like, he'll be third on my rung. Like, I might take a flyer on some other batters over looking at Green into my team.
Myth, obviously, we will break it down, discuss at length, but I'm just off the top, who are your non-negotiables from the Heat then, seeing as Chiefs took the Thunder?
Probably only Xavier Bartlett. I think there's a few options you go from the batting. Freeze an interesting discussion after his absolute howler, probably the worst Big Bash debut I've seen. But yeah, Bartlett, bowling those good overs, proven in the BBL, can hold a stick at times, can take some catches, bowls the best overs alongside Afridi. I think Bartlett's the only non-negotiable from the Heat. And probably Wildermuth, actually. I think if he's named at the top of the order again, if he does keep that role at 79K with a negative break even, or sorry, going up to probably around that price, he's, yeah, non-negotiable, I think, if he's named open.
All right, well, Chachi, do you want to chuck something in before we move on to
positions? I was just
going to
say, I own Wildermuth, so happy to hold him, but do you think did he get more overs the other night than he's usually in for? Like, is he normally in for 2 or 3 rather than rather than, or, yeah.
He essentially got his fourth over because of Afridi got taken out of the attack, and he took two wickets in that over. So it was a huge swing for both Afridi and Wildermuth owners that the one of the best 2020 international bowlers in the world gets taken out of the attack for too many waist-high-full tosses. It was not on my bingo card, I can tell you that much.
Yeah. Well, let's get into those positions now, starting off with wicketkeeper, which has a lot of good options. Cam Bancroft is one of them from the Thunder, had a 91 in his outing this week. I thought he looked super impressive, comfortable at the crease. He's obviously a class player. He's one that I'm definitely looking into bringing in this week. What about you, Myth?
I don't think I will be. I think I said at the start of the season, he's probably a guy that I just don't like the strike rate and how quickly he scores. He does need to score a lot of runs to really take advantage of it, which he did in game one. I think I wouldn't talk anyone out of taking him because now he's going to generate some cash as well, covers the wicketkeeper spot. Everyone else in the wicketkeeper spot's basically going to be on a single, so it could be a good spot to get ahead. But I think I'm looking elsewhere at the moment.
Okay. Tubes, you have Bancroft already, don't you, Tubes?
Yeah, I started with him. He's non-playing reserve because I'd play McDermott as my second keeper, but I went for that exact strategy as what Myth just said there, to have him as the double game player. I sort of wish he saved his big score for next week, but maybe he can do it again. I'm similar. I don't think I would bring him in if I didn't own him now. He bats three. He's an okay batter, but like, if anything, I'd say he's less. His probability of scoring well in the next two games has gone down because he's gone well in the first game. Like, they're called averages for a reason, and he's outperformed his in the first game.
Oh, that's tough though. Guys can go on runs. Like, form's definitely a thing in cricket. Like, guys can go on a bit of a run. But and he's also got.
I'm
got
trying
two
to talk
chances.
People out of him, Jono. That's what I was going to just give me.
The other one from the Thunder is Matty Gilkes, who had a good game on the weekend, scored quickly too. There is that risk, though, that with Warner coming back into the team, and he is expected to come back into the team this week and play both games, it sounds like, that he might drop out. Myth, what are your insights to that? Do you think Gilkes holds a spot, or is he going gone?
I think it depends on Constance. He injured his elbow and he was off the field, I believe, when Thunder were fielding. So yeah, if he's fit, I imagine Gilkes comes out, unless they decide to drop Ollie Davies instead, or if they decide to drop one of the bowlers and bat a little bit deeper, pushing Khan and Sams down the order a little bit. But that is such a good job. I think they'll stick with that structure. So it's Gilkes or Ollie Davies. I couldn't take Gilkes unless we got mail that Constance was out of both games. You could take a swing, but he's let me down before. He's always on the fringe of that Thunder side, so I don't think I'd rather Bancroft.
Yeah. All right, nice. That's it for the Thunder Keepers, and we'll put down Gilkes as my first of many mispronunciations for the pod, who I called Gilkes. We almost might have a little bit of a counter-up on that one. For the Heat, Jimmy Pearson. I don't know much about Jimmy Pearson, Myth. What do you have to say about him?
He was superb the other night, but if his name had come in at seven, I'd be steering clear. I think Allsop's I don't know what's going on with Allsop, but I can't recall if he was named in the squad today, but with him hanging around, Allsop knee injury, thank you, Gramsy. If Pearson's named to open, maybe, but at seven, I don't think you could take him.
Yeah, all right, fair enough. Let's get down to the bat bowl guys now, and starting off with the Thunder boys, Shadab Khan, Tubes, you mentioned you have him and both Dan Sams as well as locks into your team. Myth, do you agree with Tubes that they're kind of must-have heaven and earth guys coming in around two?
Yep. Even if there's weather threatening, just grab them. They're good enough on a single game week. They're both probably going to have some price increases with their good scores, and they're just too good. Get them both.
Yeah, and I'd say as well, like, Supercoach meant to be fun, and Dan Sams is a fun guy to watch play cricket. Like, he's a lot of fun to own, I think. I didn't play him this week. I ended up playing Wildermuth instead, and that actually backfired a little bit, even though the projections were right. But when he's on, he's awesome to watch. So, yeah, love having him in. Chris Green, we've spoken about a little bit. Tubes, not going to bring him in because you don't like him, which is always a sound tactic. He's 12.6% owned. Yeah, I think Tubes, is that actually going to put you off, or are you going to take a proper look at him?
I think I might, but like I said, I think he's down there on the rung. What's he batting, Mitt? 8 or 9?
He'll bat at 8. There was some question marks on who would come in first out of Green and Sams, but given that Sams came in first and hit the ball pretty well, I imagine Green is going to stick at that number 8 spot for the time being.
Look, he's going to get his overs, but I just, like, I don't love the off spinner. Like, I much prefer, like, a Sams type player. So I suppose it just depends how many Thunder you're stacking your side with. Look, he's and I'd rather probably, I'm probably definitely getting Sams and Khan, and then I might try to, and then I've got Bancroft. So then it's sort of, who else are you taking a flyer on from that side?
I guess the other tricky thing with the Thunder, looking at the way that the double weeks and the buys pan out, they have this double and then it's just single games, no buys for the rest of the year. So I'm assuming that, Mith, we don't want to go too hard at too many Thunder guys because they're not ones you're going to want to hang around for the rest of the year.
No, I think Shadab Khan and Daniel Sams, you can pretty much keep in your side and sell whenever it's convenient. You might not even sell them. They might be fine holds for as long as they're playing. But all the other Thunder guys have a singular role, aside from Green, but any of Reece Topley, Dave Warner, Cam Bancroft, Matt Jilks, all these guys have one role, so it's hard to play them on a single. So you don't want too many of them, especially with the Heat being fairly similar.
Well, let's get to the Heat then. We've spoken about Jack Woolnemuth at length. I think if he's named to open, we all agree that he's a great option. Is there the slight fear that with him not performing in that opening role that he might drop back into the standard role?
Yeah, I think there's a fair chance that he might not open, especially with Jimmy Pearson hitting well. They could see a switch there. But at the same time, the worst case scenario is he's going to move down to 7 and likely bowling at least probably 2 overs, if not 3. Potentially might even get his 4 if Bafridi's just bowling more full tosses. So if at the price, which is projected, I got it wrong earlier, 71K, that's too good to turn down, I think.
All right. Hugh Webgen, how did my pronunciation go there, Mith? Webgen?
I'm actually not 100% sure. This might be Webgen.
Webgen?
Webgen, I think.
Is he a bit of a trap? Negative BE, but job security not great, bad roll, low batting order. What do we think?
His job security has to be a little bit better after the last game, but yeah, lower batting. Don't believe he bowled from memory. I believe it was McSweeney taking those other overs. So yeah, I'd be leaving him, and I'd be going for Woolnemuth as that Brisbane Heat cheapie.
All right. Anyone else that jumps out, fellas, from bat or bowl, whether it's from the Heat or the Thunder or another team that you want to discuss while we're on that position?
Maybe we'll come back to the Stars boys later on.
Perfect. All right. Sounds good. Well, let's get into the bat-only guys from the Heat and the Thunder, starting off with Colin Munro. And producer Grams, he's got a great note here about Munro on our spreadsheet. Munro almost doubled his Supercoach points tally from BBL 14. He had 46 in 6 games, so he has almost doubled that point score, which is crazy. I'm assuming from that stat alone, Mith, that maybe Munro's not a man that I want to be jumping on board for this double week.
He looked good. He looked more like the previous version of Munro, who we've seen hit a big bash ton before, and we've seen him be quite a good batsman. I think he's got a ton and a 99 in his locker, so he's done it before in the big bash, so it's not like he's one of these international bats that's come over and not succeeded. He has had success here, and he's now got the low BE, so you could kind of take a flyer on him, and if he goes well again, he's going to make you a truckload of cash, and even if he does stink it off, he's not going to hurt you from a cash gen perspective.
Cheers, I'm going to come to you for the next couple of Heat players, mate, but I just want to touch on what you said there about the break evens. How important is, like, how much should I be looking at these break evens for these players? Like, is it a big concern like it would be in AFL or NRL Supercoach?
Not anywhere to the same degree, but it's still going to be important, especially when we get into the back end of the season, and it means someone you might be able to afford a match short over someone like a 100K Chris Jordan type. So it will make a difference. just not to the same impact. You don't want to have, if you're looking at your team and you've got all these guys with high break evens, that's when I'd be like prioritizing some cash gen. And if you're missing a lot of the low ones. So it just depends how many of these ones you've hit early.
Tubes, onto some other heat bat only. We've got Matty Renshaw, Nathan McSweeney, although maybe Nathan McSweeney trying to make a push for the bat bowl combo roller in his first game. Tubes, they're obviously both like pretty well-established names and players. Do you have any strong thoughts about those guys as options for round two?
No, I just think Renshaw has done well in the past, but he's not one of mine. I think he goes a bit slow. I do like Munro. I know Mitt just went through, but I thought he's the pick of the litter. He looked very good. I know I rubbished the form concept with Bancroft before, but I'm flipping back here and saying Munro looked in great touch. And we did just see it even today with McDermott, who looked very good in the first game, come out and do it again. Sometimes when you are just seeing them well, you're seeing them well. So I like Munro out of the pick of those. I couldn't talk anyone into McSweeney or Renshaw as a batter one from the Heat. So I think it's sort of Munro, and then I think we talked about Wildermuth, and then I think we'll get onto some bowlers because they're a lot more bowler heavy to fill out your lineup.
Well, let's go into the Thunder then, and I definitely want to talk about Davey Warner. Look, he's one that I would love to own. It's, again, just under that rule of super coach is meant to be fun. And he is a lot of fun to watch when he's on, Davey Warner. Obviously, this is the week to own him if you're going to with that double game week. I think the downside might be is that I think a lot of the casual people, which probably includes myself for the reason I've just given for getting him, but I think a lot of people jump on him from that perspective. Myth, what are your Dave Warner thoughts? He's reasonably pricey. Should I be worried as a potential owner about the eyes getting a little bit old, the reaction slowing down, or is he just still a cut above the BBL?
I mean, it's hard to tell. He hasn't played much cricket this year, so we don't really have any form to go off, and that does make it tough. He's been absolutely terrible to me in Supercoach in the past. I've owned him when he's stunk, haven't owned him when he went off last year. He's coming back from that injury. Does that play a factor as well? He's one of those guys, and you get this in Big Bash Supercoach. When you're looking at these batsmen, if they are good quality batsmen, you just got to take a call. You're either punting on them and going to back them in, or you're going against them. They could get a good rock. They could get dropped. They could just be on it. When it comes to these bats, you're almost just hoping for the best. You're picking the guy that you think is just going to go off, maybe to ground, maybe it's a gut feel. Just back him in. I couldn't talk anyone out that wanted Davey Warner.
Now, is that side injury he suffered playing with his kids, which is an old man injury if I've ever heard one, a side injury playing with your kids. Shumes, does that old man status put you off?
No, because I don't think he'll play if he's not right. Like, as in, I don't think he's toughing it out for the boys of the Thunder, like, for, you know, at this stage in his career. Like, he's got his commentary job. Like, he'll play if he can. So I think you'll be right. If he's named game one, I'll be tempted. I really would like to bring him in my side. I know a lot of people will, and it's all a bit of fun. But also, I just think you get two games of Dave Warner. If he does score quickly, he's getting those run rate boosts and everything that come along with it because, you know, he's not out there, he's not out there scoring a run a ball, that's for sure.
Cheers. I'm all meant from the perspective of I agree with you about the injury chat. And I did read I think it was the coach said that it was a precautionary thing, like he almost would have been right to play last time. They don't have any huge concerns. I just mean if he's at the point of his life where he's getting hurt playing with his kid, do we want him for Supercoach? Like, have you ever hurt yourself playing with your kid?
Yeah, but I could go out at it, yeah, all the time.
Really?
I got it. Yeah, I had Pokemon battle this morning. I copped it. But I mean, you need. What do you need from him? You need six good overs in one match. Like, I could go out there still and do six good overs in one match.
Could you? Could you?
No, but as in physically, yes. Whether or not I could hit the ball is a separate question. I'm just saying that I don't think it's that strenuous on him. To be able to go out there and perform at a high level still.
No, fair enough. And look, Constance, I think Mitch already summed up Constance well. He's got that injury cleared with the elbow. So I think he's one that you would probably steer clear for, is my personal opinion with that kind of shadow over him. Let's get into the bowl only guys. And Xavier Bartlett, Mith, was one you mentioned at the top who was going to be one of your heaven and earth guys. Get him in no matter what for the Heat for this double game week. Chiefs, what are your thoughts on Bartlett?
Yeah, I think the same thing. Like prime, bowls prime overs, opens, and Jeezy can hit the ball. So, yeah, I think he's – and as I said, there's just not that many batsmen from the Heat. So you've got to – you're probably trying to find four, maybe five Heat players. So he's definitely in the top three of who you want to be getting.
Afraidy, we spoke about a bit with that terrible couple of overs he bowled and Jeezy was bad. But I'm a big Afraidy fan. Like, that's not putting me off him. I own him and there's – surely no chance people are going to trade him going into a double game week, are they, even with that big break even hanging over him, Myth?
Well, you'd have to have a lot of doubts over him and you'd have to have a lot of Heat and Thunder. If you had six or seven Heat or Thunder already and you were going for a strategy of I'm going to play the cash gen game, then maybe you could. But he's too much quality for me. Yeah, trading him hasn't crossed my mind at all. So I'll be definitely holding on to him, might even VC him. And yeah, I couldn't knock anyone trading him in because one of the age old super coach tactics, watch all the people get a dud score and then jump on the week after and get the good one.
I like it. I agree. I think he's just a class player. Like I don't think what we saw in that one game is going to be a testament to what his whole big bash season is going to be like. There was the commentators were chatting a little bit about his fingers being quite cold. It was cold during that game and saying that he's not used to those conditions, that it was affecting his grip on the ball. I don't know if that's rubbish, if there's something in it, but that's what they were saying during the game. Tubes, any strong Afraidy thoughts?
It should be warmer where he's playing at the Gabba this tomorrow night. So I'm similar to Myth. I'll be definitely vice-captaining him this week. And given I just did with Edwards and as did Myth, like you'd be a bit silly not to be following us in there, I think.
Let's get into these Thunder bowlers, Topley and Sanger, who Sanger performed okay, Topley a little bit of a down week. Who would be the pick of those tubes?
I don't know. Take your pick. I don't like Topley as a bowler. Like, I've never really he was the Renegades guy a few years back, wasn't he? Like, I've never thought much of him. You could look at Sanger. But again, like, I think it's about balancing out your team. Like, they've got those all-rounders. And I've pretty much said I'm not picking Green because I've got too many Thunder players already. So I won't be diving deep into the Thunder bowlers, I don't think.
Myth, do you agree with Tubes on that one?
Yeah, look, my concern with Topley is he was not good at the Gades and his first game here was not good either. So haven't really seen anything from him in the BBL and I'm probably not going to bet that that's going to change despite he does bowl decent overs. Tanvir, I do like Tanvir. He's just a spinner. He's a wicket-taking spinner. I think there are worse punts than him though. So you could back him in for a three from one of the games and get a good score out of him. I'm just probably going to avoid a few of those spinners that bat 10 or 11.
And of the cheaper options from the two teams, both bowl only, we've got Nathan McAndrew and Matt Kuhneman. 60K for McAndrew, 75K for Kuhneman. Either of those of interest to either of you?
No, but if I was picking one, I'd take Kuhneman.
Jibs?
No, thank you.
All right, well, that brings the baller blueprint to a close. That baller blueprint's almost the whole show. It's a big blueprint when you're doing the double game week best off players, but hopefully that gives people a lot of insight going into round two. We're going to move on to the next topic is who are the best sell candidates coming out of round one? And we are watching the Canes versus Stars game as we're recording. So there is the potential that our opinions could change as this goes on if one guy goes in a bit of a run and takes a few wickets. But as it stands at the moment, fellas, the Canes have a few who you might look at selling, guys who haven't really overly delivered. So we have Tim David, who I believe got a decent score tonight. We were just kind of coming to record as he got out. What did he get? Something just over 20?
Only 30. 31. Yeah, he got 31 points, but no extra points on that. So just 31 for 31 runs.
All right. And we got Rashad Hussain, who I don't think got any runs with the bat tonight. Meredith, who had an okay first match and has only had one over tonight for no wickets so far. Of those guys, is there anyone there that you would put up as a sell going into round two?
I think they're all candidates depending on what you've how your side is set up and how many Hurricanes you have. The one thing I'd caution with David, though, is he's batting on that Geelong pitch. So if he does get some decent amount of time in there, that could be dangerous. Meredith is on very thin ice for me. He's going to need to take a lot of wickets, otherwise he's very high on my radar. The other one is Rayan Ahmed, who's been very disappointing.
I left him out intentionally because for me there's not a conversation to have about Rayan Ahmed. Like he's got to be sell of the week, doesn't he?
I wouldn't stop anyone from selling him, and he's a very good chance to go for me unless he just does something special with the ball here. He's going to need more than the one over Nathan Ellis gave him in the first game.
Seriously, if I had watched this bloke run between the wickets, I wouldn't have picked him in my team. Like he's a 21-year-old professional athlete, and I'm very confident if I was padded up racing against Ahmed, I'd smash him. Like I almost want Baller to make it happen. I'd love to take this bloke on in a foot race.
Confident in your hamstrings?
Very. I'm not like Dave Warner. I don't get hurt playing with my kids. I've still got in the tank. I could take this guy on. How can he be a 21-year-old professional athlete? He's not a quick singles man. Like I know he batted at three tonight. He's not going to be ducking between the wickets getting that run rate up. He's going to be hitting them around or nothing.
It didn't look like he was going to hit him around either.
Jubes, what are your Ahmed thoughts? You seem not as down on him as I am.
I think he's just a 21-year-old who's just enjoying the cuisine that Australia has to offer, Jono, and you're rubbishing him for it. I'm backing him in for a bounce back. I think he came in at three I know he only got one. I'm interested to see how many overs he gets tonight, and I think that will sway me as to what I do. If he keeps coming in at three, and if he can get two or three overs with the double game week coming up, I think I'll be holding him. I'd much rather be selling one of these Riley Meredith or one of the other bowling types. Even I've got Hussain as well in my team. I think they're ones that a clearer sells if you're looking to sell a Hobart player.
You are right, Jims. That was the fickle bickle coming out of me there. Like if he gets three overs tonight and he did move up the order to three, you are unfortunately right. He's probably a hold just based on role alone, I guess.
A gun. Like, I mean, I don't follow cricket well enough, but I follow enough to know that he's one of the most promising T20 players as a 21-year-old coming out to Australia. Like, you don't get that reputation by being slow between the wickets or whatever you're sort of jumping onto there.
Like, no, you're right.
So I think you've got to give him another chunder.
You are right, Tubes. And look, even a couple of the English greats on commentary during the actual Ashes test have been talking about him, like wanting him in the team as a spinner. So plenty of raps on him. I just have been disgusted by what I've seen two games in. But you are right. If the role is right and he takes a couple of weeks tonight, I could be very easily swayed. I've backed down pretty quick on that one. What about, Mith, the sixes are an issue one? Because obviously the Canes guys we're talking about from the lens of people probably own between six and eight of them as it stands, but they do have a double in round three. The sixes, on the other hand, a lot of people are probably owning around, I'd say, two to three because of that weather maybe tampered it down a little bit. They now don't have another double, I believe, till round six, plus they have a bye in round five. So Jedward's crazy good start. Philippe, same thing. I don't think anyone's going to look to trade them anytime soon. Are there any of the other popular sixes you think should be on the chopping block?
Dwarshus is gone for me as soon as about lockout hits. He's going to Sam's and that's just locked and loaded. He does, like you said, I don't need to hold that many sixes. They've got single game weeks for the next three. As much as the role is good, we've got to ride the fixture. And Edwards and Philippi are going to make more cash. Philippi's got that wicket keeper flexibility, which is going to be really useful. As sort of mentioned through the preseason. And Jack Edwards, that role, is just, it's unreal.
Chips?
Yeah, I've got Curtisell and Dwarshus. I think if you started with Baba Azam, I think he's probably a sell now as well. Like, even though he's opening, you were really hoping that he'd pop off. And you've just got bigger things to go now. I think though for my personal team, I'll be selling Kerr first and then looking at Dwarshus depending on what my other trades might be.
Yeah, I think I agree with those thoughts. And, yeah, Jedward, very impressive. Big, tall, strapping man. The best Jedward since that. Remember that Irish pop duo Jedward from, like, the early 2010s? Or is that just a dead reference for you two?
You lost me.
All right, we'll move on. The other thing I wanted to ask Myth, actually I was meant to ask a little bit earlier, but I'd got too much on an Armoured rant and forgot about it. But when we're talking about this double next week from Thunder and the Heat, like this week, a lot of people probably had as much as 10 or 11 double week game guys into their squad. How many should people be trying to target for round two?
I think at minimum you probably want six, especially with the weather clearing up. You
six go between, as high between as, the two teams.
Between the two teams.
Okay.
They're playing each other. So that's a big difference for the next double compared to the one we've just had, because there's only so many points that can go around the game. So they're going to eat each other. They're going to cannibalize each other's points in the second game. So that ceiling of points that they can reach if they were playing two different teams is just not as high. So, and neither of them have any other buys or double game weeks to come. So they're just singles after this next round. So if you load up on them in particular as well, then after round three, you'll still be selling more of them and you want to sell Canes. So it could leave you with a few maybe less than ideal single game week players if you stack too many of them. But yeah, you could still go eight or nine and hope it's the double game week one that pops and hope that you've got the ones that go off.
Yeah, okay, nice. Out of the other kind of teams outside of the main ones with these double game weeks, are there any of these kind of lower BE or cheap guys do you think are priorities to get in, Myth? We got Timmy Seifert for the Renegades, Ollie Peak, Mitch Perry. You mentioned that, you know, that cash gen not as important as it is in other forms of Supercoach, but still important to an extent. Should people be trying to prioritise getting those in because their ownership isn't high?
Look, I don't think so. I think maybe if you're really, really well set on the doubles, you could take Seifert in for a week, particularly as he's batting on Geelong, and that could be a bit of a pod. But if you're trading in him, it's hard to say trade him in over at Bancroft, for example. Cheaper, low B as well, has the double. It's just really, really hard to justify these guys if you can get a guy that has a double this week or next week and has a low break even anyway, because they're just going to generate cash quicker too with two games.
Tubes, I want to hear.
Can I just check? Did you hear anything? He had that side strain injury as well during his batting. He didn't come out and keep. Like, was that? Do you know if there was any follow up that he's going to keep carrying that, or is he even going to play? Like, because that's probably that'd be a concern even bringing him in. I think with a low BE, like a keeper that has a side strain, not from his kids but from the game. Like, I don't know if you want to be carrying that in.
Yeah, well, we haven't heard anything. He's not keeping, which might help. Rizwan should continue to take the gloves, I imagine. But, yeah, we haven't heard anything, which is quite odd. No news is usually good news, though.
Yeah, true.
So, obviously, in BBL Supercoach, we get a couple of boosts, three trades a week every week, plus two boosts to use throughout the season. Tubes, as someone who is an inconsistent BBL player, what are your thoughts around the boost? Like, would you look at using one as soon as this week to get some Heat and Thunder guys into your team, or would you save it for later in the year?
Yeah, I mean, I'm interested to hear Myth's strategy on it, but my current thinking is I've had a fast start. I'm just going to try and keep going hard for the next two rounds. So there's a couple of I'll be trying to load up on the Thunder and Heat next round, and then I'll be using a boost again to switch that over to some Stars players off the back of that as well, and then run it from there. So I'm probably going to use four trades in my next two rounds and then just hold on from there.
Tubes. That's very on brand. I mean that as a compliment. This time, I mean it as a compliment. Myth, what's the general thought process? You are the one with the wisdom in these areas. What's the usual principle that people use in BBL?
I actually don't think we've got an established, like, most effective strategy. I guess compared to the NRL, where it's definitely use a few early and get that team value up, burn those trades to just get your points total up, get towards the top of the rankings. The way I look at this season, I think there's three different strategies for your boosts. One is exactly what Tube said. Just load up when there's two teams on the doubles for these first few weeks and just maximize your numbers. Hopefully score a lot of points. I think that's one. I think two is the game's going to change when we get to round four and there's only one more round with two teams on the double. So single game week players are going to be becoming a lot more important from round four onwards. So potentially using a boost there could be important to get players like Matt Short, Jamie Overton in over maybe someone like a Tim David who you might have to hold on a single. I think there's an opportunity. The other one that I'm looking at and probably going to try and implement is I'm actually going to hold them a little bit and use them to get in enough a non-playing player when there's an emergency that goes off that I can't access. So, for example, this week I've got Phillippe, McDermott and Clark and I'm planning on holding all three. Phillippe plays first. He might go on the emergency for my wicketkeeper slot and I can't loop him. I can't get his score at the moment with my current seed. If he goes nuts, I might use a boost to then find a way to his score. That's a strategy that I'm looking at. It just means I can use those three trades freely, knowing it's not going to cost me an emergency. It's nothing worse than having a big score on the bench that you can't get access to. And I've felt that enough with round one with Wildermuth and Shadab Khan as NPR.
See, I was hoping you'd have like a very clear path, but obviously it's just a vibe, kind of see what fits when it comes into BBL. I don't mind your thoughts around those weeks where only one team have the double week to try and maximise the amount of players you can get in them. I also don't mind Tubes' call of just hot hand, start hot, why not keep going? So I'll have to see how I feel about that as the week progresses. Well, actually, no, not as the week progresses. I've got to make that decision
tomorrow.
Pretty soon, don't I? there's no downtime.
The only thing I'd hesitate with the boost straight up in round two is if that Thunder game looks dicey. If the forecast changes and it looks like it's going to be rain affected, maybe you want to save the boost to get an extra double for a team that the weather doesn't look like playing a role.
Yeah, okay. Look, last kind of topic I want to hit on, fellas, is our consideration for round three or four targets. So round three, we've already mentioned this, but the Stars and the Canes have the double. Round four, it's the Scorchers is the only team on the double. Myth, how much planning should we be doing around getting players from those teams in now coming into round two? And is there any risk of planning too far ahead?
Look, I'd only plan a couple rounds ahead, especially the way the season's set up. I think round five, you've got Stars on the double and we'll probably be holding a couple. So it's really only planning for round three and four. If one of these Scorchers cheapy, like if you didn't have Hardy, I'd probably plan to get him early now in preparation for that double with that role and the price. But no other really Scorchers cheapy went off. Marsh obviously had a duck. Beardman got tonked. Finn Allen fell short. So none of them are going to really increase in price immediately. So you can probably almost wait for their double and pick the best. I think the one that stood out to me is that the Stars only ran four frontline bowlers. So it's do you take a Stoinis or Maxwell early if you own none of them in preparation for their round three double? They could both be going up in price. And both, if they're bowling two to three overs and they're going to bat up the order if wickets take a while to come. And on Adelaide Oval, I think it's a good consideration to have.
So you mentioned Beardman. I own Beardman as like just a bit of a cheapie. Do I trade him this week with that round four in mind, do I keep him? These are the kind of tactics like, is it planning too far ahead to keep Beardman or do I just go, move on, mate, let's get a Thunder guy in instead?
I would hold him. I'd be looking to hold. He's got the double. As long as he's named to play, I'd be chucking the emergency on him and just see how he goes, give him another crack. Hopefully in a full game, maybe we'll get to see him perform well. Even last year, I think he went in his three games, I think he had two duds and then he went enormous. So he's got the ceiling.
Yeah. All right. Well, let's get into our final segment of the show. It is the baller move of the week. So this is all about the kind of pod or the big move that you're eyeing off or planning for. Tubes, you're a man who lives his life making baller moves. Everything you do is a big move. You're not worried about what the general consensus is. Do you have a baller move you're planning on for round two?
Look, I don't really for round two. I'm trying to still work out, even based on our discussions, exactly what I'm going to do. As I said earlier, I do like the idea of bringing in Davey Warner, but I don't think that'll be a pod move based on what we've talked about. But I am also eyeing off looking ahead and bringing in those Stars players. So if I'm looking for a cheap enough 100K to use for my third or fourth trade for this week, I'm definitely going to be looking at bringing in Tom Curran as for before that Stars game. He's currently only, I think, 10% owned or 11% owned. And I think he's a must-have into your team before the start of round three. So, yeah, I don't know if that's a big move, but that's sort of one of the some of the different ones I'm looking at other than the obvious ones we've talked about.
Like it. Mitch, what's your big baller move for round two?
I think I'm going to be really careful with my emergencies. I think I'm going to try and save him as late as I can. I think a lot of people put the emergency on Hardy, but if he's got that role again, I reckon chucking him on field. If the weather does go badly for that Sunday game, there's going to be people caught out. There's going to be people that have donuts on zeros on field. There's going to be people that mess up the setup of their side and basically cost themselves a score. So I think my baller move is just going to be really tactful in the way I set up my team structure going into this week, and might be even the Sixers on field if that game looks good, even though they're in a single, and try and just avoid any danger if that rain goes the other way and rains out again.
My baller move is actually one that you touched upon earlier in the show, Myth, and the one that I'm planning on this week. I am absolutely 100% lock it in, VC on Afridi. I think that a lot of people are going to be scared off him after what they saw in round one, and I do understand it. The bowling was absolutely terrible. It was a shocking couple of overs from him, but I think he's a genuine class player. I think he's one of these guys who's a little bit of a cut above the Big Bash, and I think he's going to bounce back in a big way. So I'm going to, my big baller move is to put the VC on Afridi for round two.
I think as well, when there's these two teams on the double, the good play is the punty VC and the safer C. So I like it.
Nice. I'm glad. I was hoping you weren't going to try and talk me out of it. But when you said it earlier in the show, I was like, well, maybe it's not as crazy as I was potentially thinking it was. Tubes, Myth, that pretty much brings us out to a close. Obviously, still a lot up in the air that could change based on the game that's playing. We've got the Stars and the Canes still going. Hussain has just come on the bowl and just took a wicket. Just then.
Come on.
So that's good. If Hussain can go on a bit of a run here, that might change all our trade talk of him earlier. But I think hope we've given everyone a pretty good picture into round two. Myth, Tubes, do either of you have any last thoughts before we close out the show?
I've got nothing for you. I think we covered off pretty well. Good luck to everyone in round two. And yeah, hopefully a VC goes big.
Beautiful. And the next episode is going to be on the 23rd of December during the last game of round two. Tubes, take us home.
You beauty.